When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unfolded the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was in high school class, I took a physics class, and we had an assignment to make a Rube Goldberg machine. Now, the definition of a Rube Goldberg machine is a machine intentionally designed to perform a simple task in an indirect, overcomplicated fashion. For example, the one I built with my physics partner had the goal of launching a rocket. To do this normally, all you had to do was simply push a button. But we made it so over the top and complicated that it included such things as a guillotine. It was awesome. And it was a lot of fun. So when registration came, naturally I signed up for the next level of physics, because in that class, you entered a Rube Goldberg competition. This time, we worked as a class, and our goal was to inflate the top of the balloon. Now, this is something that a normal person could probably do in about 10 seconds or less. But we had to do it in 10 or more steps. Our class did it in 25. It was awesome and it worked fantastically. And it took almost 5 minutes for this balloon to inflate and then pop by the time all the steps were done. Now, congregations kind of remind me of Rube Goldberg machines. We believe that congregations are created with a simple task of worshiping God and having a community of faith. But really, it seems like there's a lot of unnecessary steps and parts to accomplish that simple task, right? We think that there are definitely some steps and pieces we could remove to make our congregation better and still accomplish the task, probably easier and more efficiently. Even in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we read and hear the metaphor all of us being a part of the body. We think, well, not all body parts are really useful. We have things like our appendix that don't really do anything. But it does harm us if we ignore it too long and it flares up. We often think that we know best, that we know what the essentials are, and regardless of what Paul says, we could really care less about some of these things or people that we deem as non-essential. But Paul talks about the whole body. There's a reason why Paul tells the essential parts of the body that all parts are just as important. In the community of Corinthians, many people thought they were more important than other people, or they thought they were better than other people based off their views and their talents. And the sad truth is, there are communities out there, even though Paul explicitly states that we are all one in Jesus Christ, that believe that some people like those organs that we don't deem necessary. There are faith communities who would look at members of the LGBTQIA+ community and say, "Hey, you're the appendix, we don't need you. All you are going to do is cause this community pain. All you are going to do is kill this community, or at the very least, you are a toxic Some people here have probably heard comments like this and know all too well the deep pain that it causes. But allow me to be explicitly clear. These statements are not true. The LGBTQIA+ community and each individual is a gift from God and is an instrumental part of our body. We are all truly one in Christ, and this means not only can we exclude no member based off their sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, but that each member has been created, chosen, and called by God to be an essential part of this body, whose gifts and presence are to be valued and celebrated. Now, here is the good news, or the gospel for my sermon. For each and every person gathered here today, especially our LGBTQIA+ siblings, Jesus loves you, God loves you, and you as a person matter. All parts are important because God has created and arranged all parts. We welcome whole with all parts together, and when a part is missing, it hurts. Nobody is not important when it comes to God. This reconciling in Christ Sunday, it is particularly important for us to remember this message. But this is a particularly difficult Sunday. We not only want to celebrate those who are normally not included, but we are also saddened by the loss of a part of our body. When a member of our body dies, we lose a part of ourselves. The world ceases to exist for a moment, and you feel as though the community is but a shell of what it once was. We will all deal with this in our own way. Paul does not tell us how to deal with the loss of a body part. There is no formula for inclusion when a community is mourning, and it's a struggle. When a person has touched so many lives and will surely be missed by a community, but they have been a pillar in it for so long, it's really hard. We all react in different ways. Tears, anger, denial are just a few of the ways the community will respond. We will question if our body will ever be whole again, and we will feel that we have had an arm chopped off, and we will forever feel that pain. Sometimes in a time of loss, we turn to the Bible to seek comfort. We search the pages looking for a passage that will help. We read passages about being welcomed into the kingdom of heaven, being unified together in the end. We read passages such as John 14, where Jesus talks about God's house having room for all and Jesus coming to take us all there. Or Revelations 21:4. That God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. But we can read these passages and others. Sometimes they do not do much to comfort, let alone comfort immediately. We are still allowed to feel and to mourn, even when we have Jesus's God's love, we still hurt. The gospel from Luke today tells us Jesus came to deliver the good news, to deliver the oppressed from oppression, to bring sight to the blind. That does not seem to do us much good, does it? We raise questions about why our prayers were not answered if Jesus came to do all these things. What good is the good news if people still die before what we see as their time? The good news does not always make us feel good or make us feel better. It does not always help with death. We sometimes understand death when someone has lived to an old age, but not when death is unexpected and we thought things were going to get better. In the next few days, months, or even years, there will be a wide variety of emotions. These emotions just seem to get in the way. No, we should be logical about death, right? being in heaven and with the communion of saints is the whole point of this Christianity thing, right? Death is what truly sets us free in Christ. Death makes us free from all human oppression and all things bad. In death, all things Jesus talks about are accomplished. That does not make it any easier. Knowing what the Bible says and what we believe about death does not make the pain go away. It does not make us miss someone we love any less. But we as a community are here for each other. We will heal together. It is hard, and it will not happen overnight. But at a time such as this, we have to be here for each other. We have to show each other the love and acceptance for all Paul tells us about. The love that reconciling with Christ encourages us to show all. Reconciling with Christ was something Ken was extremely passionate about. He was on the national board and headed up our local chapter here. This organization that truly sought to show that all are loved by the church and that no matter what was going on in your life, you should feel as though you can be vulnerable and find a place of comfort in the church. So today, especially, it is time for us to come together as one body in Christ and God as we are called to do, to truly love and be there for each other, because we need to be the body in love and support for each other now more than ever.